Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number 2, a memorial prayer devotional evangelistic service, all rolled into one, trying to help as many people as possible get through the most difficult time in our lifetime. And with that said, and in keeping with our emphasis on prayer and reading the Bible and devotionals to help get you through the worst time in your lifetime. And Dr. John Piper said, "Communion assumes that God comes to us in love, and that we respond joyfully to the beauty of His perfections and the offer of His fellowship. He may sometimes come with a rod of discipline." Can you handle that? Most people, most Christians can't handle that today, because they have been lied to that everything for the Christian is supposed to go so wonderfully well and prosperous and beautiful and dandy. And if you're having any problems whatsoever, you are out of the will of God and you don't have faith in God. And those two lies have hurt so many people down through the years. And we can't find those prosperity gospel preachers now, because their brand of fake gospel does not work in a plague pandemic. All prosperity is gone. All prosperity is going away. So if your Christianity is not working right now and is not real to you and strong in you, then you have a fake Christianity, a fake gospel. The prosperity gospel does not work in situations like this. Thank God Benny Hinn got out before the plague came. He might have seen it coming. Thank God he apologized and repented of that foolishness before the plague came. But even in our tears, we can rejoice in the Father's loving discipline. Is that not right? If you're born again, can you be happy and joyful and cheerful even when God is chastising you and disciplining you and breaking you and making you and molding you to be a better person? I saw a beautiful young lady the other day in a picture online, in a story. She was 12 years old, and evidently she had some lice in her hair. And a mother or father both bought her some lice shampoo. And somehow that shampoo caught on fire and just burned up. And quite frankly, the fire made her look rather grotesque. I know that's hard to hear and that's hard for me to say, but she looks grotesque compared to how God made her. But you know what she said? She said this right here, and I believe her. She said she thanks God for being burned up like that completely. I mean, it's just her whole face and everything is just probably irreparable. Down her body and everything, burned, just completely burned up. She said she thanks God for allowing that fire to happen because it made her a better person. Some of you right now, God is doing some things in your life, and the afflictions and the distresses that are in your life, they're designed to make you a better person. The chastisement in your life is designed to make you a better person. Recently, I've had two disobedient children that I've had to take away key devices that they love and they would say they need. If they're not going to obey God and obey me in my house, they will not have them. And on top of that, I did the corporal punishment thing as well. I chastised them. And now they don't think that that's going to help them. But I know it will. You know why I know? Because God has chastised me. See, my dad never chastised me. That's a huge problem. My dad had the wrong definition of love. And quite frankly, he was beat down by my mother to submit to him and to submit to her. And he was more about trying to please her instead of pleasing God. And his mentality was, you know, love for me is letting people have their way. And I love my dad. And I'm not hard on him because he didn't know any better. He didn't have a father. He got saved late in life. No one taught him. He couldn't catch up on that. And so he let my mother and his children get away with murder. Not literally, but murder. And I'm telling you, that is not what children need. That's not what wives need. That's not what people working under you on the job need. And if you're mad about what I'm saying, you can leave, because you know it's true. We all need discipline. That's God's way in God's economy. And we all know, because we're so wicked. And see, God knows it better than we do. We're so wicked and so evil that normally change does not come, repentance does not come until we feel some pain. The justice system knows this. You got to be punished for your crimes and your evil. Do you know that the court systems are still rolling in the plague pandemic? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're not going to get backlogged. Oh, yes. The people are appearing in front of cameras and distancing and remote locations and everything else. The court system is still rolling. The justice system is still rolling, Jack. Got to. You're not going to shut that down. But we got to deal with your evil. We got to deal with your crimes, your rebelliousness, your disobedience, your stubbornness, your foolishness. We got to keep that out of society so that people who are trying to do the right thing can live and move forward. I feel sorry for you if you don't understand the power, the love, the grace, the blessing, the privilege of discipline. Chastisement is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It is a glorious thing, and we need it. every last one of us. And we wouldn't stop doing some things until God make us stop by punishing us, chastising us. One child that I took advice from, she's doing things another way now, and has helped. And the way that she's doing it has helped the ministry and the business and the family. My son, who I took advice from plus chastised him, came to me this morning and apologized. I'm still not going to give him his device back today, because I just took it from him yesterday. But he has a better attitude and spirit this morning already. People are not going to change without pain. That's why this plague is on us today, my beloved. Somebody said, well, I believe that God could have got our attention another way. You don't know what you're talking about. You young person, you don't know what you're talking about. And there's some young people who are bitter. They're bitter. They shouldn't be, because it's not wise to get bitter at God. And I would agree with them that this plague comes down directly on the baby boomers more than the millennials. I would say that, because baby boomers lost their minds a long time ago. You know that. We got baby boomers who are still in high school. They think they're still in high school. And they think they're still cute. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We have baby boomers in their late 50s and 60s who still think they got it. That's a sin right there. Still trying to get their groove on, and they 59 years old and 60 and taking metformin. Are you kidding me? Sit down somewhere and be a grandmother and be a grandfather. Stop trying to be cute. And got women trying to act like they 21. You're not 21. You're not 19. You're not 18. You got children. You have grandchildren. Put a dress on. Put an apron on. Go sit down somewhere. Let your hair grow gray. And wear your crown. And try to help these young people. Instead of complaining about the millennials, you're complaining about children and grandchildren that you produced. So the brunt of this plague comes down upon us, the baby boomers, not the children and the grandchildren. The crazy baby boomers who think they still cute. Looking disgusting on Facebook. I hate it. I hate it when old people try to do everything they can, nip and tuck and paint and everything else, to look like the young people do. And I'm here to tell you, old man, old woman, you are still old. People can look at you and they still see that you're old and decrepit. Act your age. Let your hair grow gray. It's the crown that God is trying to give you, a crown. And it's a beautiful thing. Stop being selfish. Stop being concerned about who's looking at you and who you like to get with. What are you talking about, man, woman? Sit down somewhere on a porch. Take several seats on the front porch. And read a book. Let the children see you read a book. And then try to tell them something. Write a book about your life. And try to teach the young people something. and help them. Provide some discipline. Communion with God may lay us in ashes or make us leap. And Dr. Piper continued, but it never destroys our joy. That's so true. It is our joy. See, even while you're being chastised by God and rebuked by God, there's joy in that because you know God loves you. And see, if you're lost and on your way to hell, you don't understand this. You're mad at God and you're bitter at God and you're bitter at other people. But if you're saved, you're not mad at chastisement. You feel the love of God, even if that chastisement is coming through a third party, because God will use other parties, other people to chastise you. And what? But however, now you just hold on. If you're a teenager, you eager to get on out into the world, believe me, your parents are eager for you to go out into the world. I thank God all three of my children who are out in the world on their own, hundreds, thousands of miles away, they've been a tremendous blessing to me, gone. A tremendous blessing. My oldest daughter sent me some money yesterday. And they tremendous, tremendous blessing. Okay. But now just understand though, when you leave the house, you're gonna jump out into the out of the fire into the frying pan. Sizzle, sizzle. Mm-hmm. Sizzle, sizzle. You're gonna be frying in grease, Jack. Because see, now you got to deal with God. What? No. Not father, not daddy. Not Papa. You got to deal with God Himself now, the Heavenly Father. And see, you cross Him and you're supposed to be a child of God. And He's very merciful and gracious. But you keep on thinking that you can paint the town red on Him. He'll take away every blessing, every favor. He'll jam it up and slam it down. Make no mistake about it. He'll shut it all down. And the thing about God is, you don't want to get Him started, because see, God is very thorough, unlike your parents. God is very thorough, very detailed. The wheel of God grinds slow, but buddy, it grinds slow. You can best believe that. Okay, and you got to deal with Him. If you want to bore up against Him, you're going to have a double problem on your hands, because it's going to last longer. My advice to all people who are under the chastening hand of God: humble yourself, apologize for your sins, don't tell any lies to God, don't play with God, agree with God in a hurry. Agree with God in a hurry. I'm just trying to help you in advance for you young people who you have not had any experience with God yet like that. Agree with God. Say, yes, sir, God, I hear you. Thank you so much for your love for me and chastising me so that I won't stay the same evil, foolish way that I am. Now, if a young lady who got burned from the top of her head almost to the bottom of her feet can say she thanks God for that happening in her life because it made her to be a better person, okay, God got some things for you too. Yes, He does. He'll give you a story. And see, the thing about it is, if you're wise and you do what I'm telling you right now, and just go ahead on and agree with Him when instead of bowing up against Him and lying and talking about this is a trial or this is a tribulation or the devil is attacking you. No, God is attacking you. God is dealing with you, man, woman. Stop your lying. And you know it. See, when you get chastised by God, if you're a child of God, you're going to know that God is the one doing it. Or you will know it, because he's going to tell you. Don't go out there lying on him now. And I'm sharing this with you because many of you are under God's chastisement right now. God has shut you down on the left. You know, cut off Bo Peep, cut off Sylvia, blocked you from the front and the back. You're blocked into your ranch house with your husband and with your wife and with your children and the dog. Bam! Bam! Chastisement. What? What? And you're mad at me because I'm telling you what's happening. What? What are you going to do now? What you need to do is humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways. Repent and get back to Jesus Christ, your first love, and stop trying to be somebody that you're not supposed to be. And I assure you, God is very loving, but he can show you better than he can tell you. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for everybody who names the name of Christ, every person, every family in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and help us to pray. Help us to seek your face and help us to turn from our wicked ways, all of our besetting sins and all of our weights. Break us, make us, and mold us. Lord, to be what you would have us to be, help us to repent and get back to thee, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of all families that call themselves a Christian family. We pray for the salvation of all families that don't. And we pray, Lord, for the raising up of laborers into the field to reach those who are lost, to reach those families that should have been reached already with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for every family that names the name of Christ to pray together, obey together, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 particularly, and stay together for your glory, your praise, and your honor. And Lord, give those families the joy of getting back past the rough seas of the marriage on to the other side, when they will look back and say it was worth it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Join me, my dear friends, in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I believe we're reading one verse in the family verses today. As you know, we're just reading the verses as best I can, meaning being a preacher, you read the scriptures, you ready to bounce. You be ready to preach. Like I just got through preaching. I didn't mean to say all of that. Didn't plan on saying all of that. I have no notes on any of that. What I just told you, I probably couldn't repeat it for $1 million. But that's what God does with his preachers. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. fathers. You're the head of the whole household, not only your wife, but your children too. And join me in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So you see that there is great benefit to you when you pray for others. So let's pray for others, not just ourselves. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all people who claim to be Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. Lord, you know who they are. You know also who are fake Christians, fake brethren, fake sistren, and just church members. You know the tares and the wheats. We don't, but you do. However, you have taught us to watch for their fruit. And we pray, however, Lord, for those of us who are truly born again, Lord, which I have a sneaky suspicion that is just a remnant at this point, contrary to what many people think. But we do pray for whoever is truly born again. Help us to truly humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Lord, there's a thing in me, Lord, I don't know if it's right or wrong, where I really want to see people who do go to church who are not saved get saved. And I want to include them in that prayer. Lord, let your will be done. And Holy Father God, we do pray, however, that you would save those tares and those people who are churchgoers but not born again. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and help them to acknowledge the truth. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people in government, from the president on down, all around the world. We pray for salvation and spiritual and family and life, financial and material protection and provision blessings upon all of them. And we pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell out of them. We pray that you'll save their souls. We pray that you would fill them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and change the direction of their hearts and lives in leading people in the way that you want them to go and not in the way they want to go. And Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe and in the media. We pray for the revival of Christians in this country, around the globe, and the media as well. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, I don't know how you heal people in every detail, but Lord, I do humbly pray based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knocking it shall be open unto you, that you'll heal everyone who is sick, even if it's not the coronavirus plague. Thank you for healing so many people already. And Holy Father God, I pray that you will those who are believers in Christ, help them to call the elders of the church, not to come over to the house, but to pray over the phone. But help the people who are calling for healing to be honest about their sins and to be transparent and to confess their sins to you and even to the elders of the church so that they can be healed and raised up. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of and the healing of those who are not saved. And Holy Father God, we pray for the comfort of the families that are hurting with single deaths and some families with multiple deaths because of the coronavirus plague. And we pray that you would comfort them as only you can. For we have no words, we have no comfort to offer, to be honest, Lord. And no matter how well we have been trained, we have not trained for this. And so, Lord, we pray to you because you have the power and the might to comfort these people. Draw them to yourself, Lord Jesus, for salvation and comfort. And we pray that you draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort as well. And Holy Father God, I do pray now. We pray for millions of people, but we pray, Lord, for a few by name each day. And Lord, however, we include these folks in the prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray for the family and the friends of Michigan Pastor Curtis Williams Sr. We pray for the family and friends of New York Fire Chief Albert Petrocelli. We pray for the family and friends of New York musician Vincent Leonti. We pray for the family and friends of French clinician Marguerite DeRida. We pray for the family and friends of Italian shoemaker Sergio Rossi. We pray for the family and friends of French designer Lila Mancari. We pray for the family and friends of New York singer Christina Palachi. And we pray for the family and friends of Connecticut City Clerk Mary Roman. We pray for the family and friends of French soldier Rafael Gomez Nieto. And we pray for the family and friends of Massachusetts architect Michael McKinnell. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit these souls into your hands as well as our lives. Let your will be done in all of our lives because we know that your will is best for all of us. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the people who have sent in prayer requests. And we pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection and provision blessings upon them. Protect them from the coronavirus plague. And Lord, we pray for these by name. We pray for Nita. Please comfort and be with Verdana after her husband's death. We pray for Jesu. Please bless him with a job and money to buy food and medicine for his mother. We pray for Vicky. Please heal Cecilia's dog from Lyme disease and leg cysts. We pray for patience. Please bless her with a new job. We pray for Wiliki. Please bless his family and church with Bibles and Christian books. We pray for Daphne. Please heal her son, Jarrett. We pray for Mahesh. Help him to get his job back as well. Let your will be done in all of their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. We pray now, Lord, for the people who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel. through this ministry. We pray for SS. We pray for Peter. We pray for Rich. We pray for Suri. We pray for Dan. And we pray for Ellie. And we pray for Maggie as well. Help these to grow in the faith. We pray for all of the other people who've gotten saved as well. Help them to grow in the faith. And Lord, we pray also now for the people who have rededicated their lives to you. They didn't get saved, and they were already saved, but they came back to you and said that they wanted to rededicate their lives to the Lord, even though I do not give that invitation. And so, Lord, we pray for them. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for O. We pray for Maureen. We pray for Judith. We pray for Charlene. We pray for Harry. We pray for Francis. And we pray for Ish. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is The Reason for Everything. The Reason for Everything, Part 4, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. Jesus told the Father, "I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do." Jesus honored God by fulfilling his purpose on earth. Are you doing that? We honor God and Jesus the same way. When anything in creation fulfills its purpose, it brings glory to God. And this is real talk. The problem with human beings is that God has wired us a certain way, and God has given us certain gifts and talents and purposes in life, and we don't fulfill that, and so therefore we don't glorify God. And some people live their whole lives not glorifying God because they didn't fulfill their role. Some because they didn't like their role. They didn't like the way they were made. They didn't like their gifts. They didn't like their talent. They wanted somebody else's gifts and talents. This is ridiculous. Some people don't even like the way God made them as far as how they look. And that is a tragedy. But anyway, birds bring glory to God by flying, chirping, nesting, and doing other bird-like activities that God intended. Even the lowly ant brings glory to God when it fulfills the purpose it was created for. God made ants to be ants, and he made you to be you. Saint Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." There are many ways to bring glory to God, but they can be summarized in God's five purposes for your life. The first purpose is worship. We bring God glory by worshiping him. Worship is our first responsibility to God. We worship God by enjoying him. C.S. Lewis said, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. God wants our worship to be motivated by love, thanksgiving, praise, and delight, not duty. Dr. John Piper notes, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Worship is far more than praising, singing, and praying to God. Worship is a lifestyle of enjoying God, loving God back because he first loved us, and giving ourselves to be used for his purposes. When you use your life for God's glory, everything you do can become an act of worship. The Bible says, use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together today and all that you have done by the power of your Holy Ghost, by the power of your Holy Word. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Now, Lord, grant me your grace, your strength, and your anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel again today for the salvation of the lost, for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. Do you accept that? I hope you do. You are a sinner, no matter how smart you are, no matter what color you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how educated you are a sinner, and I am too. So is the Pope, so is the Dalai Lama, and so is Joel Osteen. We all have sinned against God. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know the Bible is the Word of God just from that one verse, because there's no research team on earth that could check everybody and talk to everybody to find out whether or not they've sinned. So God already knows this. So he makes it very clear, the billions who live on earth right now and the billions who have lived before, they have all been concluded to be sinners by God, because they are sinners and they have sinned against God, and so have you. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Some of you are still saying, well, I have not done any bad things. Have you ever lied before? Have you ever stolen anything before, including the money you stole out of your father's drawer when you were younger? The cookie out of the cookie jar? Somebody's food out of the refrigerator? Have you ever lusted in your heart after somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored, disobeyed, disrespected your parents in your life while you were growing up at home? Sure you have. Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever said the blasphemous word GD? Words GD? Dear friend, we all have sinned, haven't we? That's just five of God's Ten Commandments. And the Bible says if you break just one, you have broken the whole thing. So understand that we all have sinned. Secondly, understand the wages of sin is death. That means that the reason why we die is because of our sin, our sinful nature, and our sinful choices. The body goes, therefore, to a grave somewhere. The soul spends eternity in hell if it rejects Jesus Christ in this life. In other words, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, rather, in this life, your soul will spend eternity in hell, in the torments of hell. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee," Jesus said, "cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Do you see how earnest and serious Jesus Christ is about this sermon on hell? He is saying that it's better for you to go to heaven with just one hand and just one foot than to go to hell with both feet and two hands. That's how serious this matter is. So simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a very real place, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said, yes, the same Jesus Christ who preached on hell more than any prophet, more than any preacher, more than any apostle, more than any writer in the Bible. And Jesus Christ who preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Yes, he was meek and lowly and loving, but he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. The same Jesus Christ said these words in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he told you to do here. Just believe in him. He's got it. He's got you. If you just believe in him, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart the gospel that he, Jesus Christ, suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God of all time, who has taken away the sin of the world. He paid your sin debt, and he paid mine. All you have to do is believe in him and call on his name in prayer and seal the deal, so to speak, and ask him to come into your heart and to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on his name right now, believing in your heart in Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died as the Lamb of God for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Do it now. You may be on your sick bed. You may be on your deathbed. You may be in a hospital. Somebody may have invited you to hear this message today. Do it now. Don't wait, for today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Right now, I'm going to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. And if you have, and if you are believing right now in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, pray the sinner's prayer with me and mean it from your heart, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. It is true that I have committed some of those sins that were mentioned. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God, allow me to say to you congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free download. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know, or whatever email is on your platform. Use that. There is some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.